You may be seated. You know, if any of you were listening at Winter Bible Seminar, I talked about the last days. I believe that his coming is very, very soon. If you know anything about Bible prophecy, and you can just look and see what's happening in the world today, and especially in the Middle East, it's all unfolding right before our eyes, just like the Word of God said it would. And so, I mean, we need to be ready because he could come at any time. You know, I don't know where all we've been since we were here last. I go so hard and so fast, but I know we've been on a couple of crusades and Winter Bible Seminar and crusades, and we've had some really good results in our crusades. God is blessing, and people are being saved and healed and filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. See, y'all are just a part. Y'all are a part of that too. See, we have. In fact, Denise was talking about how that she went to one church to preach there in Columbia, and it was the fruit of the fruit. In other words, John Romick, that's over Rhema, Columbia, he came to Rhema, USA. Then he went over there and started his ministry. Now this guy went to Rhema, Columbia. Now he's gone out and started a church. It's all over. I mean, it is unreal what's happening through the Rhema ministries all over the world, and you're just a part of that. Yeah, I guess I should bring those. Did anybody see those slides that we put up at Winter Bible Seminar? Did any of y'all watching online and see those slides that shows where Rhema is all over the world? I know you did. You was there, but. I guess I had to bring those at some time and show those, Cliff and Melinda. All right. I don't know. I put together this message a while back. I preached it over at on a Wednesday night over at Rhema Broken Arrow at on 1 and 7 of 15. I just put this message together, and I don't know, I was looking through to see what to talk to you guys about tonight, and this just jumped out at me. And it's Mark 10, 46 through 52. Mark 10, 46 through 52. Now, some of you may be ahead of me. You all may already know what the story that is. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And Mark 10, 46, and let's see, I'm reading from the NIV version, okay? And they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and called to him. So they called the blind man to him and said, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now, normally, I use those portions of scripture when I'm doing in my Living Faith Crusades that we have once a month, sometimes twice a month. The last night, like on a Wednesday night, or if it's a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, then it will be Tuesday night, will be healing night, and I'll preach a healing message. And I usually use this verse, this passage of scripture, to talk about healing. But tonight, I want to use these scriptures to talk to you about how to change your life. We have a part, you know. Somebody said, "Well, God's in control." Well, yeah, he is, but you have a part to play. And I want to share some things with you tonight that, to get you thinking about your part in changing your life as we live. Number one, you have to assume responsibility for your own self. You got to do it. Nobody else can do it. It's, you know, a lot of people always want to get somebody else to pray for them. They always, and thank God you can do that. We got a call center over there and you can call in. But, you know, my dad used to teach me, he said, son, he said, learn how to pray for yourself because nobody cares about you like you do. You know, but looking at blind Bartimaeus now from this scripture, it's most likely that up to that very moment, someone else had helped him to get around to different places, go places, you know, do things for him. Someone had to tell him the colors, what that colors things were. Somebody had to tell him what things he needed to live life. Up to that moment, he was dependent on somebody else to help him. Now, my dad's mom, my grandmother, Pat's Mama, we called her. That was my uncle's name. My dad's youngest brother's name was Pat, and the oldest grandchild. There was about 10 of us grandkids that were all about 2 years apart. You know, it was dad and Aunt Olita, Uncle Dub, Dad, and Uncle Pat. And so there's about 10 of us kids and about, cousins all in about a 20-year period there. We were about 2 years apart. And so Ruth, the oldest grandchild, she was trying to tell her mother, my aunt, Aunt Olita, my dad's sister, about her grandmother. And she couldn't say grandmother, and she couldn't get her point. Finally, she could say Pat, which was the Uncle Pat was still, he was still at home at that time. And so she said, you know, Pat's mama, talking about her grandmother. And she could say Pat and mama, and that stuck. Everybody in McKinney, Texas that knew Lily Hagen, they call it, that was her close friend, she was Pat's mama. Everybody called her Pat's mama. But she was blind. Now, through a great nervous breakdown. Of course, my dad's dad left him when he was just about 6 years old. And through a nervous breakdown, she had problem with her eyes. And back in 1917, or when my didn't know as much today, and they put some kind of drops in her eyes, and that was it. And so, but, you know, so I know something about being around a blind person. And you have to make sure that if you move a piece of furniture, you let them know and show them where it is. Or otherwise, they'll run over it. Because they learn how to navigate. So if something is out of the ordinary or different, you have to tell them about it. And up until this moment, Bartimaeus was dependent on people to help him. He probably was dependent on somebody to help him get out to the roadside every day to beg there. But you know what? This all changed. This all changed when he heard that Jesus was passing by. He took responsibility for himself for the first time. He didn't wait for somebody else to tell him to speak. He didn't wait for somebody else to tell him something. That moment, he took responsibility for himself. See, if we're going to receive from God what this word says, we got to take responsibility for ourselves. We can't depend on somebody else to do it for us. We can't depend on somebody else to pray for us. It's just like getting saved. If you're going to come to Christ, it's you take responsibility for your own self. Somebody else can't do it for you. And so, here he took responsibility for himself. You see that he took responsibility for himself because he began to cry when he found out who it was, when he heard that it was Jesus. He began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, it says he began to shout. And then they told him, be quiet, and he said he shouted all the more. I want you to notice that. Now, if you study that out in the Greek, you'll find out that the first shout was a normal shout. The word there that is used was just a normal shout, like you would holler at somebody, "Hey!" The second time they said that he, that when they rebuked him, he said he called out all the more, is they said that that shout was an animalistic like cry, like a man screaming that's drowning, that's screaming for help. I mean, it's not an ordinary scream. Let me understand what I'm saying for to you. Okay, now, number two that you see in this that he took upon himself to change his life was that he believed that things could change. There is no use of speaking up and hollering to Jesus, as he said there, he shouted, unless you believe that something can change. Now, when he heard of Jesus, it says that he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Why would he begin to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," when he heard of Jesus? Because he had to have heard something about this man called Jesus. Now, how he heard about it, I don't know. But he's not going to start calling out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," if he hadn't heard something about who Jesus is or was. Hello? Somebody, you know, maybe he heard people talking about it walking down the road. Because he's sitting there where people walk down the road all the time. Maybe somebody did sat down and talked to him about it. But I know he had to have heard what Peter said in Acts 10:38, and when he was preaching at Cornelius' household, and he said, "How God anointed Jesus in Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil." So he had to hear sometime, somebody had to tell him that this Jesus was a healer going around healing people. And that's why he immediately said, "Hey, this is that Jesus." And he cried out to him. See, he believed things would change. And then on verse 50, it said he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. See, there's no use of calling out to Jesus, and there's no use jumping your feet and going there unless you believe something's going to happen. He took responsibility for himself, and then he was convinced that Jesus could help him, and he called out to him. You know, it's no use to go to somebody. If you're not convinced somebody can help you with something, there's no use to go to them to even talk to them about it. Is that correct? Roy here, Roy Coxall, he's been in my church he went to Rhema, and he has two shops there in Tulsa, mechanical shops. You know, hey, if I go, I took him my race truck, the truck that pulls the trailer with the camera, my grandson that races, and I took that down there to him to have him check it out, make sure, put it on the scope and make sure everything's in line. Hey, there's no use taking it to him unless I believe that he knows how to fix it. How many of you ever taken your car to somewhere to have it worked on that you didn't believe they could fix it before you ever got there? Yeah. Well, why did you take it to them if you didn't believe they could fix it in the first place? Most of us, how many of you have taken your car or your truck to a place to get it fixed because you know that's what they do and they can do it? Yeah. See, a lot of times that's what happens with people. They come to Jesus, but they are not convinced that they can get anything. But they come anyway. That's like somebody taking a car to somewhere where you know that they might not can fix it, and you take it there anyway. I'm not going to take my car to somebody that can't fix it. Why spend that kind of money? You know what I mean? All right, let's go on. Now, number three, if you're going to change your life, you know, I'm talking about changing your life spiritually. I'm talking about changing your life in the natural. I'm one of these kind of preachers. I'm pretty practical, and I like to, all of my messages, I like to, for people to be able to use the same thing on the spiritual side as the natural side, because we are natural people, but we also have a spiritual side. They're both of us, and we need to learn how to walk both sides of the fence. Hello? Now, know what you want. I want you to notice in 51, Jesus asked him what he wanted. He said, I want to see. His answer was direct and to the point. You know, my dad used to always tell people, he said, you know, somebody come and say, well, I'm sick. Well, what's the matter with you? I don't know, I'm just sick. He said, you know, find out exactly what's the matter with you so you can be specific with God when you talk to him. Tell him exactly what you want. You know, sometimes people are vague when it comes to asking for something. You know, they're sort of vague, you know. Like, you know, I didn't go in when I was a teenager, before Dad helped me get my own car. I didn't go in and say, well, Dad, you know, everybody's going somewhere, going around, you know, it'd be nice if I might be able to use the car. No, I went in, I said, hey, Dad, listen, everybody going over here, and me and some more of us want to go, and nobody has a ride, but could I use the car? I'm direct. I go direct and ask. You don't go into if you want a loan, you don't go into the banker and start saying, well, now, I know y'all got money here, but, you know, I'm sort of in need of some. Well, everybody's in need of money, you know. You know, I started like a guy going up asking a girl for a date, you know, to go out with him and say, well, I know you won't, but would you like to go? And all the guys are laughing because everybody says, hey, you know, you got to be direct. I remember as a kid, Dad passed before he left to go into traveling ministry in 1949, my third grade year in school. Now, back there in those Pentecostal churches in those days, they had altar benches. They used to have them in a lot of the churches that they don't have many. Baptists even used to have altar benches. The Methodists used to have them because my grandma, my mom's mom, she was an old-time Methodist. They called them mourner's benches. Anybody old enough to remember that? I got one guy over here. He would go down, people be at the altar praying, and he'd go down and say, what are you praying about? Oh, nothing in particular. I'm just praying. Dad'd say, that's what you're going to get, nothing in particular. Come on. You know, we need to be specific what we want from God. Like Bartimaeus, he was very specific. You know, when he said, when Jesus said to him, what do you want? He could have said, well, you know, it might help if I had a seeing eye dog, if they had them back then. Or, you know, it would help if somebody would build me a shed where I could just stay here right beside the road and get out of the elements and so forth and get to, you know. I mean, there's all kinds of things he could ask for, but he was specific. He knew exactly what he wanted. He said, I want to see. You know, if we read the Word of God, we'll find out that God, through Jesus, is asking us what we need at tonight, and we need to be specific with him. Say, this is what I need, Lord. Now, the fourth thing you have to do to be, you know, to change everything is don't be concerned about what other people will say or think about you. See, 48 says, many rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted the more, all the more. Now, actually, some scriptures say they railed upon him, some translations, so forth. Now, let's go down and get this plain old Oklahoma language. They told him, shut up, you old blind beggar, be quiet. That's, anybody, you get it now? You see what? That's what they said to him, really. And, you know, some people always trying to tell people why it can't happen. See, you got to quit listening to and be concerned about what they think. They'll try to get you to quit confessing God's word. Just stay where you are. Be quiet. They told him be quiet. He called more loudly. See, when they told him to be quiet, he had to make a decision. what to do. He had to make a decision. Was he going to go back into the shell and let others tell him what to do? Or for the first time in his life, was he going to take control of his own life and have it changed? You know, there are people that tell you why you can't believe God for this and why you can't get this and why you can't get the other. Hey, what does the Word of God say? Well, I don't want somebody to think I'm some fanatic or something. Hey, I don't care what they think. If I need something and God's got it and I can get it, I don't care what they think. What they think don't make no difference. They're not me. They're not going to have to answer for me. You know, I've had people tell me, well, now I tell you what, if that was me, I wouldn't do that if I was you. I said, well, this is me, it's not you, so I'm going to do it. Hey, we have to get that way sometimes because people will try to talk to you to keep you from getting what God has for you. Any of you ever had somebody tell you you couldn't get something that God already said you could have? Anybody ever been there? I mean, most of us have. You know, so now, number five, stop waiting for the right moment and the right conditions. Do you realize that Jesus was passing by? That was his moment. He couldn't wait, because if he waited, he's already gone. It says there were a large crowd there, and he was blind, so he couldn't see Jesus. He just heard that it was Jesus, and there was a crowd. And he knew that this man named Jesus could help him. It might not have been the best time for everybody else, but it was the right time as far as he's concerned to scream out for Jesus. See, they told him to be still, not bother Jesus. Wonder why somebody would tell a blind man that's calling out for help to be quiet. Maybe it was because they were getting new insight from what Jesus was saying to them. You see, what you need to realize is that in those days, when rabbis were walking and they walked through or going somewhere, walking through a city and stuff, that many of the people would walk with them, and they would ask questions, and the rabbis would talk to them and explain things to them. Perhaps they couldn't hear what Jesus was saying because he is screaming out. Maybe they thought this blind man should wait for the right time to approach Jesus. Wait for the right conditions. No, he didn't wait. He knew what he wanted from Jesus. He didn't wait to have a private audience. Hello. One time we were at a place, and the guide was talking about an angel that appeared to somebody. And I was 15 years old, and we were driving to meetings and with Dad, and this is in the summertime. And he is talking about that angel on top of that temple and so forth. And I just said to him, I said, that's a bunch of nonsense. And I felt something grab, you know. And now listen, I'm 15 years old. It's in the 50s. I graduated from high school in 58, so you can figure it out. And I got my jeans on, my penny loafers, my T-shirt, just like all teenagers dressed back in that day. And I felt something grab my feet, and that's the last thing I remember until I heard Daddy hollering, in the name of Jesus, turn him loose. Now, they tell me later that I was on the ground and my loafers was right there, just like they were, and picked me up, and I was all twisted and contorted, and the guide said, oh, put him back over there in the shade of the tree. He said, that happens a lot when I'm telling this story. Dad didn't wait. Be quiet. There's a whole group of people in this tour group. He was pretty loud about it. And I noticed that I finally come through blinking my eyes. And I noticed people when he is saying, and it's the third time when I heard him. I guess the first two times he's a little lower. The third time he's almost shouting it. And he wasn't concerned about the crowd. See, you can't be concerned about the crowd when you want something from God. He said, come on, let's get up and get out of here. So we did. So, but you know, now let's come to this point number six. Do something. Do something. You see, it says in verse 50, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. I want you to notice that he decided to do something. When Jesus said, come here, he jumped to his feet and he left his cloak, or his coat, we might call it, on the ground where he was. Now, why is that important? It's important because that was a bold thing to do. Because that coat said who he was. It said, I'm a blind beggar. It meant his station in life. If you'll go back and study that time in history, different ones wore different outer cloaks or garments to depict their station in life, what they were in life. His coat said, I'm a blind beggar. He was not supposed to be seen in public without it. If you want to change your life, you're going to have to do something about it along with the Word of God. You can't afford to wait. See, he realized that this was his time. This is when he had to do something. Jesus is passing by. He had to scream out to Jesus. You know, we need to learn to take responsibility for ourselves and believe that things are going to change. And quit listening to what others have to say and not letting others keep us away from what the Word of God says is ours. Some people say, well, at the right time. The right time is when you need something. You know, some people say, well, now we need to make sure that this is the right time to approach. No, the right time to approach God is when you're in need. That's the right time. And then do something. Then do it now. When you need to change, you need to do it now. It's not a matter of waiting. It's a matter of, hey, God, this is where I'm at. This is what's happening in my life. Now I need this. I need that. And make it specific. Specific. I'm that word I tangle up on all the time. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? If you want to change your life, both in the spiritual and in the natural, assume responsibility for your own self. Don't wait for somebody else to tell you what the Scripture says. Go find out what the Scripture says over you for your own self. And believe that things will change. And know what you want. When you go to God, know what you want. And forget about people and what they say and what they think. Hey, you know, everybody said, well, they said. You know, I never have found out who they is yet. And stop waiting for the right condition. The right condition is when you're in the situation that you need God to help you with. That's the right condition. That's the right time. And then do something. Just don't sit still. Do something. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Amen. Heavenly Father, we tried to tell the people some things that will help them both in natural life and in spiritual life. And Father, I pray that as we've spoken tonight, I pray that whatever part of this message was needed for each individual, that they get that part. and begin to apply it and change things in their lives. I realize everything that was said was not for everybody, but something that was said was for everybody. So we thank you right now, Lord, for moving in people's lives and changing their situations in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Bow your heads for just a moment. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus, rededicate their life, have a no-so experience with God. There's a lot of people that go to church every time the door's open, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ as their Savior or not. And there's a lot of people that go to church that need to rededicate their lives. They know they're not exactly where they need to be. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, I want to minister to you tonight. Let me see your hand right now. Anybody? Praise God. All right. Anybody want to receive healing? All right, there's a hand. Thank you. Everybody stand, please. If you want to receive healing, come to the front right now. We'll pray for you. Pray for your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We'll just wait till everybody gets up here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can just stand right over there. Praise God. Everybody reach your hands out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the healing power of God to flow into this body. Heal in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you for healing right now in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, be healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Raise your hands, everybody, and thank God for healing. Thank God for healing. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. Praise the Lord. God is so good. I assume Craig will be here next Sunday night because I'm going to be in Marietta, California preaching next Sunday night. But I plan on being back on the 5th of April, I guess. That's the first Sunday in April, I think. I plan on being here. I believe I do. Anyway, I don't know what my schedule is. I go so hard and fast. But it's good to see everybody. I'm going to go back there to one of them doors and shake your hands as you go out. So turn around, shake hands with somebody. Hey, bring somebody with you next time you come. Tell them about Rainbow Bible Church, that they can come on Sunday night and enjoy Sunday morning on Sunday night. And they can have the weekend to do what they want. They started Saturday night services so people could be off on Sunday. We just have Sunday night service so you can be off all weekend and enjoy the whole weekend. And then they come and enjoy Sunday morning on Sunday evening. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Sunday night, 6 o'clock, right here next Sunday. God bless.